Matthew 19, verse 1, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read," in other words, he's referring back to Genesis here, "have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh." That word twain, of course, it's just the old English word for two. It's an archaic term that simply means two. "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Now the Savior said to the Pharisees, "Have ye not read?" He was pointing them back to Genesis chapter 2, to the formation of the marriage relationship. So let's turn back to Genesis 2. We want to read this very important passage in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. "And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Now that those two words, help meet, have been joined together over the years, I believe wrongfully. You hear preachers talk about a help meet. A help meet. Well, it's not one word, it's two words. And it's obviously we know what help is. But the word meet just means suitable, appropriate. So God here considers Adam that he's alone, that he needs a companion, a soulmate, and he brings this help who is suitable for him, this helper, we could say, who is appropriate for his needs. So verse 19, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." We know that the Lord will bless these verses that we have read this morning to his own glory. Let's bow in prayer, please, before we come to the family and to the marriage relationship. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you today for the privilege of reading the Holy Scriptures together. We pray, our gracious God, for your help as we study these passages. We pray that the Holy Spirit will enlighten our minds, that the Holy Spirit will open our understanding, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been thinking about the family over the past number of weeks, and I suppose a good title that you could give it would be Home Improvement. Home improvement. Very often you hear about people doing home improvement. And you even see some television programs where people come, workmen come, and they give the house a makeover. And they change the house and totally transform it. It's a home improvement. Well, we're thinking in these messages not about the home improvement where you have a new roof or a new bathroom or you paint the walls, but we're thinking about home improvement in terms of the family, in terms of the blessing of God upon the family, in terms of harmony within the family and harmony in the home, because that's the most important kind of home improvement. And you know, I have to say this morning, there are many, many homes, many, many families where improvement is needed. Sad to say. And there's some families, indeed, that are broken apart and they're just in pieces today. You see, the devil is the great home wrecker. He loves to wreck homes, he loves to wreck families, and he has done his work well in our nation. But oh, we want homes and we want families where the blessing of God is and where there's harmony and there's love. Do you know that the Bible tells us that if we follow God's instructions for the home and for the family, we will enjoy a little taste of heaven on earth? It'll be like a little piece of heaven on earth. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. God wants your home and my home to be a little slice of heaven upon earth. But I wonder today, is there room for home improvement? Is there need for home improvement? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great home builder. He loves to build up homes. He loves to build families. He loves to bless families. He loves to bring harmony into families. And you know, there's no better way to have a harmonious and a joyful home than to make the Lord Jesus the center of it. There's no better way to bless your family than to receive Christ as your Savior and to make Him the head of your household. So we're coming to think today about home improvement. And we're coming to the Word of God, and we have read from Matthew chapter 19. The Lord Jesus speaks there about the home and the family. And you notice in verse 5 of Matthew 19, the Savior says, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh." The Savior puts the emphasis on the fact that when a man and a woman come together in marriage, they are no longer two, but they are one. They're no longer twain, that's the word that the Scriptures use, twain, but they're one flesh. So I suppose you could give today's message the title, "One Plus One Equals One." That's a very strange sum, isn't it, boys and girls? You might say that's wrong. How could one plus one be what equal one? Well, it does in God's economy. And when it comes to the marriage relationship, to the husband and the wife, one plus one equals one. So I want us to remember today that the bond between a husband and a wife is to be the closest bond on earth. It's even closer than the parent-child relationship. Okay, I want you to understand that today, because it's sad in some families there is more love between the parent and the child than there is between the husband and the wife. But that's not the way it ought to be. God says that the husband-wife relationship is the priority. It is the primary relationship. Husbands, guard the relationship with your wife. Wives, guard the relationship with your husbands. We have in Genesis chapter 2 the first wedding. The first wedding that ever took place. The animals were the witnesses at that wedding ceremony, because we read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20, "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him." So God sees Adam, and God realizes that there's no animal that is suitable for Adam. Adam needs a companion like unto himself. And God sets about providing Adam with a companion. And God begins the preparation work for the first wedding. Now I want you to notice this first wedding as the animals look on as the witnesses to the ceremony and as God performs the first wedding. I want you to think first of all with me today about the preparation for this wedding. Focus on that word preparation for a few minutes. You see, God prepared a wife for Adam. It tells us in verse 22, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." So first of all, God takes the rib from Adam, and from that rib he makes a wife, a bride, and he brings the bride to Adam. There was preparation needed. It's very interesting, you know, that the preparation involved the taking of a rib from Adam's body. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about why it's a rib? Why did God take a rib? Why didn't he take some other part of Adam's body? Well, I believe there's a good reason why God took a rib. You see, God never makes any mistakes, and there's always a reason behind what he does. And I want you to think about the rib for a moment, because we have all got 24 ribs in our body. Isn't that right? 12 pairs of ribs. But God took one of the ribs because the rib is there for protection. You think about your body. God has created you. He has created me with those 24 ribs to protect. What do the ribs protect? They protect the heart. They protect the lungs. They protect the chest area. My, what an important area of the body it is. And God has provided this protection for our bodies. But there's a lesson here. There's something deeper. And it's to do with the marriage relationship. The husband is to be the protector of the wife. The husband is to protect his wife. The husband is to protect his family. Husbands are to be there at the door when anything would come that would threaten the home or the family. The husband has the duty under God of being the first to meet the trouble. But it's sad today that there are husbands in our country and they're not doing their duty because they're not protecting their wives, they're not protecting their families, and they're just letting everything and anything into the home. And great damage and great hurt is being caused to the wives and to the children. But when we think about the rib that God took from Adam, it reminds us of protection, and it reminds us of the husband's duty to protect his wife and family. But there's something else about the ribs I want you to think about, because the ribs are not only for protection, but they're also to aid the breathing. They help the breathing. God has made you in such a way, he has created you in such a way that your ribs are there to help you breathe, to help your lungs expand, so that you can inhale oxygen. That's the way God has created you. The ribs are to help you. Does that not remind us of the duty of the wife? You see, it wouldn't be fair just to speak to the husbands today. And to give the husbands a hard time, the husbands are not the only ones with duties. The wives also have duties, and one of the duties of a wife is to help the husband. You see, that's what we read of in Genesis chapter 2. I want you to notice there in verse 18, God says, I will make him an help. I will make him an help. God created Eve to be a helper for Adam. Husbands in the service today, God has given you your wife to be a helper for you. Wives, I trust you are a help to your husbands. Someone has said that wives are like wind to fire. They either fan the flame or put it out, blow it out. I wonder, wives, what are you today to your husbands? Do you fan the flame? Do you help them? Or do you blow the flame out? Do you blow the fire out? Do you put it out because you're not a help to your husband? The wife was created to be a help for the husband. You notice in verse 20, but for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. God intends that the wife should help the husband. She's to be his helper. Now, feminists would be boiling mad now listening to this message, because they would say, the wife, a help, that's making the wife inferior. That's an insult. You're a chauvinist. Not at all. You know that word help that's used in Genesis chapter 2 to describe the duty of the wife to the husband? It's the same word that is used of Jehovah, the Lord. Because the Lord is the helper of his people. Psalm 46 verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. What does it say? A very present help in trouble. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. So wives, this is not an insult today when we're saying to you that you're to be a help for your husband. We're not tramping you down today. We're actually exalting you, lifting you up. By the way, that's what Christianity does to women. The Pharisees trampled upon women. Do you know what the Pharisees used to pray every morning when they got up? Thank you, Lord, that I'm not a Gentile, and thank you, Lord, that I'm not a woman. Terrible thing to pray. That's what the Pharisee prayed. But Christianity raises women. And you see here the Lord is exalting the woman. She's not inferior. But the Lord is saying, women, you're to help your husbands just as I help my people. What a compliment to the ladies this morning. So there's the preparation for the first wedding. The Lord takes the rib, and from the rib he creates the bride and the wife for Adam. I want you to notice also here the priority in the first wedding. The priority in the first wedding. In verse 23, we read, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. The priority of the marriage relationship. We have touched on it already, but let me say it again. The relationship between the husband and the wife is the most important earthly relationship. Because husbands and wives, if God blesses you with children, someday the children will fly the nest and they'll not be there any longer, and it'll just be you and your own again, just the husband and the wife, just the two of you. And hopefully you'll not fight. Hopefully you'll not fall out with one another. But you see, your relationship is more important even than the relationship you have with your children. And there's a very important practical point that needs to be made here. Whenever children leave the home and get married, it's time for hands off. Parents must take their hands off the child. That child, that son or daughter who has married, the parents must not hold on to them. That son or daughter has now entered into a married relationship. They are setting up a new relationship, and they must be allowed to do that. And for parents, the two words we need to remember are hands off. The husband and the wife are setting up their own little family, and we must not interfere. Now, it's a different thing, totally different, if that son or that daughter comes back and asks for advice and counsel. Of course, we're there to give it. But we must allow them to build their own home. And there must be that letting go. Of course, there's a lesson for the young people who get married. The young people, the son or the daughter, they must let go of the home. They must let go of that relationship with their parents, because now that son or daughter has entered into a marriage relationship, and the relationship with their spouse is now the most important relationship on earth. I remember hearing the story of a young lady who had just got married, and after they came home from the honeymoon, the young lady phoned home, and the father answered the phone, and she said, "Dad, I feel homesick. I just want to come home." The father just said, "You're already at home. You're already at home." She wanted to come home, as she thought, to her parents, but her home was now with her husband. That was the relationship that God had brought her into, and that's the relationship that must be the priority. Yes, the marriage relationship is the primary relationship, and therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The preparation for the first wedding, the priority in the first wedding, but I want you to notice the purity that we find here. And with this I finish today. The purity that we find in this first marriage. In verse 25 of Genesis 2, we simply read, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." You see, we're dealing here with the intimacy of the marriage relationship, the purity of the physical aspect of marriage. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, we read, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled." Sexual relations between a husband and a wife are blessed by God. The blessing of God rests upon them. But any other sexual, physical relationship has the frown of God upon it. I want to make that clear today. Because there are so many perverted sexual relationships in our world today, and God is angry. It's an insult to Almighty God. It's an insult to the first wedding that took place in Eden all those years ago. But thank God there is purity about the marriage relationship. That intimate physical relationship within marriage. It is an important part of marriage. Let me just say that today. Because I believe this is an important point, not only for those of us who are here today, but for those who may listen to the CDs, those who will listen on the internet. This is a very important point in marriage. There is that intimate part of marriage, and it must not be denied. It must not be thrown aside as something that is unimportant. You see, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, "Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." You know, I believe that there are marriages in our land today, and sad to say, there is little or no intimate physical relationship between the husband and the wife. And you know what's the greatest tragedy of all? The husband is driven into the arms of another woman. Or the wife is driven into the arms of another man. Now that's not the way that God intended it to be. You can go home today, you can read the book of Proverbs, you can read the book of Song of Solomon, you will read about the intimacy that there ought to be between a husband and a wife. And the husband has no right to deny the wife her physical needs, and the wife has no right to deny the husband his physical needs, because the reality is that if it continues, the marriage relationship is being threatened. And you know how the devil loves to tempt. And there's all manner of temptations in the world today. You've got the television, the internet, newspapers, magazines, everything. It's on the billboards. There's websites you can go to if you want to find another partner apart from your spouse. It's everywhere. The tempter is busy. And when he sees a husband and a wife who are neglecting the physical aspect of their relationship, he senses a weak point, and he will attack that marriage at that point. It's a pure thing. I think perhaps sometimes down through the years, it's kind of been an underlying belief in the church, particularly in the evangelical church in the West, that somehow there is something unclean and dirty about the sexual relationship between a husband and the wife, the physical intimacy between a husband and a wife. I want to put it on record today that there's nothing dirty about it. There's nothing unclean about it. It is a pure thing. It is something that God has blessed and God has ordained. And it is something that God has given to a husband and a wife, of course, for procreation, that children will be brought into the world. But it is also, God has given it to the husband and the wife. This might surprise you, but it's true, for pleasure. Because you see, there is no more wonderful relationship in all the world than the relationship between a husband and a wife. Thank God for the purity that Adam and Eve enjoyed in the Garden of Eden. And as husbands and wives, we too can enjoy that purity. Now let me just finish today. This is a point that I meant to make earlier, but it's a very important point, and we'll make it before we finish. It's not the will of God that everyone marry. Let me just say that today. You can read Matthew 19. We didn't read it today, but just read on past where we finished off today. You will read that the Lord Jesus says, he makes it clear that it's not the will of God for everyone to marry. God has a plan for some of his people to remain single. And it's not easy for single people to listen to sermons about marriage, is it? Sometime maybe we'll have to preach a sermon about singleness and how God has ordained for some of his dear people a life of singleness. But whatever your marital status is today, let me ask you one final question. Do you know the Savior? Are you in a right relationship with Christ? You see, we've been speaking today about marriage and speaking over the last number of weeks about marriage. And you know, often whenever a young couple get into trouble in their marriage, they will go to a counselor. And that can be good and that can be helpful. Or they can go to the Christian bookshop and they can get a book. And that also can be helpful and that can be good. But I want to tell you today that the most important element in any marriage and the basis of any marriage is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you and I want to have the marriage relationship that God intended us to have, then the key is that both partners, both husband and wife, have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you got that today? Oh, if you haven't, thank God you can come to know the Savior today. We don't buttonhole anybody. We're not into that. And we don't believe in coercing people into salvation or putting pressure on people. But let me simply encourage anyone in the service today who knows not Christ to receive the Savior. And I want to tell you, it will make a difference to your marriage. You will begin to taste heaven upon earth.